Good morning. Welcome in on this beautiful Easter Sunday. We are so glad that you guys could join us as we seek to praise and worship and celebrate Jesus Christ and to celebrate the fact that he isn't dead, but that he has risen from the dead, that he is alive. See, as we jump into the message, I want to pose this question to you guys. Heroes take all different shapes and sizes, don't they? I mean, you don't have to be a man or a woman, young or old, popular, wealthy, or important to change the world around you. I mean, think about it. Some of the most impactful people in our world are people many might have assumed couldn't do or change anything. Take Viola Desmond, for example. In 1946, she challenged racial segregation at a cinema here in Nova Scotia by refusing to leave a whites-only area of the Roseland Theater. Or how about Tank Man? You guys know who I'm talking about with Tank Man, right? You've all seen that famous picture of him standing with grocery bags in front of a column of Chinese tanks. And on June 4th, 1989, this mysterious man bravely stood in front of that column of tanks after the Chinese military forcibly quelled the Tiananmen Square protests the previous day, killing thousands of students. He changed the world in a special way and became the symbol of the Tiananmen Square protests that were held by students fighting for democratic reforms, freedom of speech, and the press. Or how about Malala Yousafzai? Malala Yousafzai, I apologize for butchering her last name. But this courageous 11-year-old made global headlines when she was shot in the head by the Taliban after she insisted that girls should be educated in Pakistan. And despite this horrific, life-threatening injury, she survived and has boldly continued to speak out for women's education in countries that don't allow girls to receive any sort of significant schooling. In fact, she is the youngest recipient to ever receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Or how about Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome? I mean, didn't they change the world? Didn't God use them in bigger ways than anyone else ever thought they could be used? See, these three people, they were the first three people to ever encounter the resurrection. And we're looking at, I mean, these are the first three people to come upon really just that empty tomb. I mean, take a look at Luke 24. In Luke chapter 24, we're reading the story of the resurrection. And as you guys are turning there, I want to give you guys a quick rundown of what's happened so far. So in Luke 22, Jesus is betrayed, arrested, disowned, and tortured. Then we get to Luke 23, where he's brought before Pilate to stand trial for literally nothing. In fact, Pilate even said, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." He's like, "You guys, look, you guys have brought this guy before me, and yet through all of my examination, I can't find a single fault with him." But the crowd is relentless. And they kept pressing for Pilate to execute Jesus, even to the point of asking Pilate to release a known murderer and instead crucify this guy, this carpenter, this man from Galilee named Jesus. In fact, a number of years ago, when I was at Bible college, I heard this said, and it's really sort of come back to me over the last few days, that the first person that would probably ever be able to say he took my place was Barabbas. It was that known murderer, that guy who was in prison for the right reasons. I mean, he should have been in prison. He did a lot of really horrible, bad things. And Pilate had this tradition where he would release one prisoner a year to the Jewish people. And so when the Jewish people come gathering, he's trying in every possible way to release Jesus. But the Jews are like, "No, we don't want him. Give us Barabbas. Give us that murderer, that revolutionary who did all these evil and wicked and horrible things. We'd rather have him than this innocent man." And so as Barabbas is walking down and he's walking past Jesus, you have to wonder if there's that point where it hits him like, "He took my place." And then Jesus is nailed to a cross. And he dies this gruesome and horrible death for us, for the payment for our sins. And he's eventually placed by Joseph into his family's tomb. right? So he dies, and Joseph goes, and he takes him off the cross. He had to go and ask for permission from Pilate to do this, and he goes and he puts them into his own family's tomb. And so we come to Luke 24, 2 days have passed, two long, sad, brutal days. And it's now the first day of the week, and it's early in the morning. And it says the women took the spices they had prepared. There's this group of women who were followers and disciples of Jesus who had decided that they are going to go and prepare Jesus' body for burial. Mark 16 actually reveals to us sort of like the ringleaders who were driving this initiative. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. See, Joseph and Nicodemus, when they took that body down from the cross, when they took Jesus' body down from the cross, they didn't really have a lot of time to prepare the body before they had to put it in the tomb. It was sort of like a, we got to get this job done quick sort of moment, right? Because everything was in a bit of turmoil. And so when we come to Sunday, we're meeting this group of faithful, loving, and caring women who have decided that they are going to go and prepare Jesus' body properly. And what this entailed, guys, is this entailed wrapping the body in linen strips. I almost said lemon strips. Apologize for that. But taking the body and wrapping it in linen strips that had been smeared with spices and aloes and ointments. And the reason they did this is because the dead were left alone for a few years to decay before a relative would come and put the bones into a small stone box that would permanently stay in the tomb. So this isn't some simple task, but really, guys, you got to understand, like, this is the labor of love. This is something you do for somebody that you actually really cared for, that you actually had some sort of love relationship with. And they loved him, and they had devoted their lives to him and his teaching and everything he was about. And so they went to the tomb. And as they're walking there, we know from Mark 16 that they were talking to each other about how they were going to move the stone out of the way. I mean, this thing was huge, right? Like, this is like a huge boulder. It probably weighed like a ton. And it was designed with the purpose of keeping people out. And on top of that, a few Roman soldiers were placed on guard to further discourage people from coming around. There was such a fear in that country at that time. There was such a fear in Jerusalem and the surrounding area that people were going to come and steal the body of Jesus to sort of fake and make it look like he had risen from the dead. And they had never even bothered to think about the fact that what would happen if Jesus actually did rose from the dead. And so as the women approach there, they found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. The guards are gone. And so they entered, right? And they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So they do what any of us would do. They're perplexed and wondering what happened. Maybe there's this point where they're freaking out a little bit because they're like, where is Jesus? Where is the body? Where did he go? Who took him? And they didn't expect to find an empty tomb. Because like any one of the other disciples, they had either forgotten what Jesus said or were not at that point yet where they could believe in something like the resurrection. And they're standing there and you know, they're looking around and they're perplexed. And as they're there, these two angels suddenly appear standing right beside them. And one of them speaks and is basically like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? He said, why do you look for the living among the dead? And he's asking them this question not only as a point of fact, but also because he's going to use this moment to remind them of what Jesus had already taught them. In fact, he continues on the conversation by saying, he is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Do you remember when he taught you these things? Do you remember when he spoke these words of truth into your heart and soul? And almost like they had been asleep, their eyes are suddenly opened because they start remembering what Jesus said, and all that sorrow and grief and pain that they had been wrestling with over the last 2 days is just, it's just gone. And all they feel in that moment is just sheer utter joy. And the only thing I can liken it to is just those moments when it hits me so hard that God loves me, that he saved me. And it will just come on me sometimes at different times when I'm like, God, I'm just this horrible human. I'm this terrible sinner. But you saved me, man. Like, you redeemed me. And in that moment, the joy I feel is just so overwhelming. And I feel like that's what they were like here. Because after they had seen all of this, they just ran back to the 11 to tell them all about it. In fact, this story sort of reminds me of lately I've been going out to the Heritage Road. It's a lot of you guys probably know it. Southgate Side Road 41. It's part of that road. And I'll go out there and I'll park my car and I'll get out and I'll just stand there and I'll bask in the sunlight and I'll just sort of be present and I'll look at the trees and feel the breeze and everything like that. But it's also this opportunity for me to just connect and be alone with God. It's this opportunity for me to talk to him and bring my struggles to him. But it's this opportunity where God also reminds me in powerful ways that I am loved and cared for. And when I go there and I'm struggling, it almost feels like I'm underwater. And I've been underwater for a long time. But then God, with his love and just his peace and his grace and his mercy, it's like he reaches down and he pulls me up out of the water. And I'm able to get that first breath of fresh air. And I got to feel like that's what these women probably felt like. They probably felt breathless for the last few days. They probably felt hopeless. They probably felt like all the joy had been sucked out of the world. And then just like that, God pulled them out of that funk with the resurrection, pulled them out of that joyless place, and reminded them that they are loved and cared for, reminded them of joy. And it was probably like the first breath of fresh air maybe they had really felt and been able to breathe in the last number of days. And so they're just filled with joy, right? And they go running back to tell the 11 of what had happened. And you would think that the 11 would be just as joyful as they were. But instead it says they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. In fact, the Greek word here for nonsense is a medical term that was used to describe the babbling of a fevered and insane man. And these were just a bunch of crazy women. But to the Lord, they were these beautiful messengers of glory. Because God uses those that others consider insignificant to do more than anyone could ever expect. And if this story teaches us anything, it reminds us that our preconceived notions of who God can and can't use mean nothing. That our notions of who is significant and who is not mean nothing. It reminds me, so 2 days ago, I hop in my car and I go out for a little drive and I stop and I grab a slice of pizza. And this old woman comes up to me. And you can tell she's sort of destitute. You can tell that she's hurting. And she asked me for a ride. And I sort of, in my heart, if I'm honest, I grumbled a bit. Because even though everything's sort of in this state of isolation right now and lockdown, I find that I'm still pretty busy. And so in my own busyness, I'm like, oh, I don't really want to do this, but I probably should. And so I say, sure, yeah, I'll give you a ride. So I take her up to her home and I drop her off. And as I'm driving away, I'm sort of like, well, I probably shouldn't have been thinking about that. But then the amount of busyness that I got going on in that specific day starts kicking in and I sort of forget about it. Well, then a few hours later, I have to go out again. And I had to go over to the church to pick a couple of things up. And so I drive my car over. I know it's not that far, but the stuff I had to pick up, I couldn't really carry home. So I drive over, and I'm getting this stuff. And as I'm coming out, who do I see? I see that same woman. And she calls out to me. And she's like, hey, you're the guy that gave me a drive earlier, right? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, would you mind giving me a drive again? So I'm like, so I sort of grumbled in my heart a little bit again. And I said, okay, sure. So I give her a drive up to her place again. I drop her off and I'm driving away and God just starts powerfully convicting me. See, I had looked down on this woman because of the way she looked, because of the way she smelled, I'd look down on her because, you know, because she wasn't dressed as nice as I am. See, what I had did in that moment was I had said basically that this woman isn't as good as me. And yet God, in that moment, after I had left her, convicted me and powerfully just showed me that I might look down at her, but he looks and consider her less, but that he looks at her and considers her everything, that he loves her and cares for her in really awesome and powerful ways. See, my notion of who God can use in that moment needed to change. Because God can use anyone to accomplish anything. And he is willing to pour his love out on anyone. It doesn't matter who they are or what they look like. And so what I need to do, and sometimes my challenge is, I think what we need to do is we need to throw that way of thinking right out the window. See, the Great Commission says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Nowhere in there does it make a distinction of who is called to do this, because it doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman or what your skin color is, if you're young or old or rich or poor or famous or not. God calls you significant, and he wants to use you to be a messenger of hope to a really lost and broken world. Messengers to tell the story that he is risen. So as we close, I want to bring us back to really what our bottom line is. And the bottom line, guys, of what I've been trying to build to through all of this is just simply this one simple truth. Today, I am a messenger of hope, love, and the resurrection. And if you guys are listening along with me at home, I want to encourage you guys, take a moment to just sort of repeat that to yourself. Maybe write it down and slap it on your fridge as a reminder. Today, I am a messenger of hope, love, and the resurrection. Not tomorrow, because we can't go there yet. We're not in tomorrow yet. We're in today. And not yesterday. The past is gone. It's behind us. But today, we have the opportunities to be that kind of messenger to somebody else. To show hope and to love, to image the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, to somebody who probably needs to hear it, who needs to see it. And I know in this state of lockdown we're in that maybe that's hard. But gratefully, because of the technology we have, we can reach out to each other. We can FaceTime each other. We can text each other. We can call each other. And so I challenge you today, look for those opportunities to be that messenger of hope, love, and the resurrection. Reach out to somebody and let them know that they are loved and that God loves them so much that he sent Jesus to live and to breathe and to die and to rise again from the dead for them. That God loved them that much. So, I'm blessed that I had the chance to be able to share this message with you guys today. I hope that you guys have an amazing Easter. Hopefully, you're feeling somewhat up to this challenge. We just want to encourage you guys, and I hope that you've been encouraged by this message. We love all you guys. We look forward to being able to connect with you in real person again, in real life again. But until then, keep reaching out, keep connecting in the ways you can, keep loving from a distance, and I know God is going to bless all of this for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how amazing and incredible you are. God, we thank you because we don't come to a full cross. We don't come to a full tomb. But we come to an empty cross and an empty tomb with the stone rolled away because our King Jesus lives. He is risen again from the dead. And so, Father, we celebrate you. We celebrate the power of that sacrifice, and we celebrate the power of the resurrection, and we celebrate, Father, that you had a plan to save and to redeem us. And we ask that you will grant to us power and strength to go and to share that same message with others, the same message of love, of hope, of the resurrection with this lost world that's all around us. And so, God, we praise you, we worship you now, and we just thank you for the work that you've done in our lives and the work that you will continue to do and work through us. We pray this now in the beautiful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, guys, God bless. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to continuing to connect with you guys in whatever ways we can. And we encourage you guys, check out our website, check out our Facebook accounts, check out just any of the social media things that we're using, because we're trying to put as much digital and online content on there as we can. So keep an eye out for that. And also, if you have any tips, if you have any thoughts on what we're doing, we welcome hearing them, because we want to grow. We want to get better at doing this. We love you guys. Have an amazing rest of this Easter Sunday. God bless.